boxes on the hillside.
Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. It's time for a real estate roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So there was some really important news that came out last week, and that news was that existing home sales grew at the fastest pace in 8 years. And I think even more importantly, for homeowners, the median sales price hit new highs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, and I can feel it out there too. You can see it. We hit the all-time high in a median price of $236,400. Actually, I shouldn't say all-time high, the high since February 2007. And, you know, we're selling at a pace of 5.49 million homes a year.
And that's the highest it's been, you said, since 2007?
Since February 2007, where at that point it was 5.79.
Now, I don't know that 2007 was actually the height.
I know, because, you know, I know you remember back when we felt it down here. It was right after a hurricane. Shortly thereafter, you know, the market tanked on us, and that was in October of 2005. So by 2006, you know, the first quarter, we started seeing, you know, the decline.
Yeah, but the point is really it's going back 7-8 years. Which is a very, very big number. And this means some good things for the economy because, you know, the more people that buy homes, the more they spend to fix them up and all the other things as well. Now, what has been the reasons for this increase?
You know, what we're seeing is steady job growth, improving the economy overall. You know, people feel better about their finances. The interest rates are extremely competitive. They're very, very low. They're, you know, around 4% right now. And the other interesting thing is our inventory levels are low. And so when we have low levels of inventory, we see a big push for, you know, people wanting to make moves and try to get in. Right now, we're sitting at a 5-month supply of inventory.
Yeah, that's low.
Which, Steve, that basically means when we're less than 6 months, it's very much a seller's market.
I remember during, you know, the deep dark days when you and I would talk about this, I forget the number, but they're like 15 months or...
Oh, more than that. More. It was like, it was insane.
Nobody wanted to buy and people, then there were plenty of homes for sale. So there's a lot of bidding wars in certain areas of the country. And I was actually listening to a report and there was banter back and forth as to whether if you keep losing the bid as things get bid up, whether you should be chasing it or not. Do you have an opinion on that? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
But you know what? It's interesting. If you need to buy a house, you need to buy a house. And an interesting phenomenon, all of that, when a new listing goes up for sale, the strongest time market is that first couple of weeks because the people that are in the market who have already been looking for homes have narrowed it down to that specific neighborhood.
Yeah.
They pounce on the new listing that pops up. And a lot of times their listings are selling, you know, within a week. If the home is priced right, and that's because, you know, the best kind of buyer to have is one that just lost one or two other homes. They're the first ones, you know, on the computers at 6 a.m. calling me, telling me there's a new listing.
Oh,
they want to go see it at 8 a.m.
Boy,
I'm not kidding.
You must be one happy camper these days, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so that's music to my ears because, you know, they walk in the door and they're like, how much above asking do I have to pay?
Right, right, exactly. That's wonderful. You know, so you mentioned low inventory is the really one of the big reasons that there are these bidding wars. Where is the international buyer these days? You know, the dollar has appreciated against the euro pretty dramatically and other currencies. Is that affecting international buyers coming into this market?
It sure is, Steve. The first 4 months of last year, we had 2.5% of all home sales were sold to foreign buyers. It's dropped now to 2.0% from January through April of this year. So we are seeing an effect. If you look at, you know, the five biggest countries, Canada, China, Mexico, India, United Kingdom, they account for about 51% of all the home purchases from our foreign buyers. But we're seeing, for example, Canada, our dollar is much stronger than the Canadian loonie. And as a result, you know, we're seeing a pullback from them.
Yeah, so just to fill that in a little bit. So If your money, your wages, your assets are denominated in the Canadian dollar, and the Canadian dollar is down by 12% versus the U.S. dollar, that means, in effect, you have to pay 12% more to buy a dollar's worth of real estate in the U.S. And that's the big jump. So that's going to dampen purchases from international buyers.
Sure, definitely. And then on the flip side, we've got Hong Kong dollar, which is actually appreciated against the American counterpart. So what we're seeing, you know, we're seeing actually more Chinese buyers. They're dominating the international sales.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They have been for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's a trend that's kind of easy to see because you only really have one data point, and that is what the dollar is doing against their currency. So
exactly.
Very interesting. Let's change gears here and let's do the real estate Q&A, one of my favorite things. This is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, July 16, 2015. The question is, we're renting a house to a family that is paying the rent on time, but they're not keeping the property in good condition. We have received noise complaints from neighbors, and the community association has warned us about parking problems and items left on the front lawn overnight. We have mentioned the problem to the tenants to no avail. Is there anything we can do?
Yeah, that's always fun and touchy. Well, first, you have that cordial conversation, which this person has already done. The next step is to write a polite email or a letter reminding the tenants that they're responsible to maintain the property and live up to the rules of the association. If that doesn't get you anywhere and it's really a problem, you have to look at evicting as a possibility. And in order to make that decision, you really have to look at how much time is left on the lease. Does it really make sense to go through the expenses of evicting them? Or is there enough time to just write it out, grin and bear it, and get them out, clean it up, and get a new tenant?
Well, yes, I can see on paper that would be good. But meanwhile, you still have the association that's breathing down your neck, and neighbors are very unhappy and so on. So
right. It's never a comfortable position. And I see this type of thing all the time, Steve. And it is a problem. You know, ultimately, as a landlord, if the lawn's not being kept up, it's going to fall on you. So
yeah.
Pretty much better get the lawnmower out there and start cutting. Take matters in your own hands or you're going to have all your neighbors hate you.
Right. The joys of being a landlord.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
My guest is Terry Story. And as always, we're here to listen to her life and times in real estate. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton. And she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.